Hi. So I thought about picking a different text than the one that the narrative lectionary chose for today, but I think there's some wisdom and word in here, so I decided I was going to press on. And the text comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and I pray that you would find the Holy Spirit in this as I have. In the year that King Uzziah died, and this is Isaiah talking, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of her robe filled the temple. And seraphs, angels, were in attendance above her. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one seraph called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of her glory." And the pivots on the threshold of the temple shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am a person of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the sovereign, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." This is holy wisdom, holy word. In the year that King Uzziah died, that was a bad year. It's important to note that this vision that Isaiah has occurs in a particular moment in history, and that King Uzziah was a really good king by most measures. He was wise, he was just, he was faithful, he had about 5 decades in office, and the country prospered under his leadership. And you could describe at this time, this is in the 8th century, that the known world state of affairs then was tense, and it was foreboding, especially for the nation of Judah, because the Assyrian Empire, the Assyrian army, known for their advanced weaponry and tactics of psychological warfare, was encroaching from the north upon Judah and was coming close to Jerusalem, which wasn't well defended. And if it wasn't bad enough with all this junk that was going around the world, then King Uzziah died. And it seemed like Judah was about to go down in flames. Have you ever felt like your country was going down in flames? I mean, drawing parallels between 8th century Judah and 21st century America is tricky because they're very different times and places. And for one thing, Judah was actually a tiny country and not a worldwide empire. But the point is that people were afraid and the outlook was bleak, to say the least. In the year that King Uzziah died, it's how this text begins, that it rekindled for its original hearers a sense of panic because political instability was on the horizon. Political instability, though, doesn't really quite cut it with me this week. I have to speak in the first person here because this is just so raw. I am still reeling from Tuesday night. I feel sad. I am angry. I feel bewildered. I am tempted to despair. And the best word I can put to what I feel, though, is grief. I'm grieving. I feel that in my body. I feel that in my soul. I am grieving. And a lot of people still are and will be for some time because this sense of loss is profound. And in some ways, we don't understand it. And speaking of grief, when I think about what the new normal could be over the next 4+ years, I mean, my mind starts to race with these possibilities and my chest gets tight and I start to panic. Ambient dread is another term I've used to describe how I feel. And it's the fear of a strong man assuming power. It is the fear of the ratification of all the hatred that was spewed during this campaign. It's the sense of losing what could have been a historic presidency. President-elect Donald Trump. And even as I stand up here and I have the privileged voice that I get to share how I feel, I am painfully aware that my position that I occupy as a human being is an immensely privileged position. And that whichever campaign promises the president-elect, it's important for me to talk that way to get used to it, follows through on, I'm probably not going to suffer near the kinds of consequences as people who are already in marginalized communities. People who were directly targeted by this campaign. I am not an African American, a Guatemalan immigrant, a Somali refugee, or someone who had insurance because of the Affordable Care Act, but who's about to lose it. I'm not a woman with reproductive rights or healthcare issues that are under siege. I am not a differently abled person who is mocked on national television. And the stories that I have heard this week of families already fleeing the country, of kids being bullied all across the country, of lesbian and gay couples being harassed, of others being the victims of violence, all that is absolutely sickening to me. And there's this Google Doc floating around right now, and I'll paraphrase it. Oh, crap. What should I do before January guide? That's what it's called. I'm not kidding. It's this collaborative document that people are working on that's worth taking a look at because it details what to do if you find yourself in any number of vulnerable populations who might be affected by significant changes at the federal level. And the document is so long, it is astonishing. And tragic. And I've read this Isaiah story before, and I knew that it was written in a time of exile and political calamity, but I've never felt that in this way before. In Isaiah, he's got this fantastical vision of God's sovereign majesty in the midst of an incredibly fear-filled and uncertain future. And I have craved to see such a vision myself, to feel that somehow God is still in control of this mess. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm envious of Isaiah. I want to catch a glimpse of God's radiant glory washing over the earth and God's presence filling the temple. And I want to taste God's holiness just so I can trust that everything will be okay. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah cries, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm lost. And I am a person of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." And in my most mature moments, I try to think, I try to be high-minded and say, okay, what am I missing? What don't I understand? Am I living in a bubble? What exactly is behind the fear of my friends and relatives who voted for the other candidate? But then, through my own unclean lips, I want to yell, "Lord, I am living among a people of unclean lips. What in the world has possessed this country? Has half the electorate, less than half, gone mad?" And like Isaiah, I don't feel up to the task. Because I know that this is the time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and to live into our calling to be a prophetic force. See last week's sermon. But I feel inadequate. I feel so inadequate because this is going to be hard. And there is no sense in sugarcoating it. Our calling to do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God is the same today as it was a week ago. But I'm afraid that the stakes are higher, as are the costs. Because y'all, we don't know yet how we will be called, how God will send us out to stand with the oppressed and to surround those who are frightened, to put our necks out on the line for people who are persecuted or scapegoated. We don't know. But did you catch what happens to Isaiah, though, after he says this, I can't do this? He is made holy, and he is sent out to do God's work. And yes, he is unclean like everybody else. Yes, he shares the guilt for what is happening in his country. Yes, maybe he's not the most qualified to speak a prophetic word. And yeah, he's just one person, but he's called to it. God makes him clean. God transforms Isaiah for this task. God equips him for it. And that's when Isaiah says, here I am, send me. So this is my prayer today, that we too would hear God's voice, even if it is in the faintest whisper, that we would remember that no, we're not perfect. No, we don't have all the answers, but we are God's people. We are not ever sent out empty-handed. We are never sent out alone, because the God of hosts goes with us to where we are called. And we 21st century American people doing pretty well, we have to remember that the Jesus movement, that the Jesus movement was born in a struggle for a more just world. And that in continuity with the Hebrew prophetic tradition, Christ's proclamation that the kingdom of God is near, that was when it first uttered a threat to the political establishment. This is nothing new for God's people. And Christ's ministry of healing, teaching, and including all that stuff he did was revolutionary. And throughout time, even though the church has colluded with empires to disastrous results, there have always been among us pockets of resistance that dared to practice love even when it was costly. And one may even argue that the church is at its best when it is on the margins and not at the seat of power. What we said at that rally on Monday and then the prayer vigil on Wednesday, we stand with love, that still applies. That job description has not changed. And so help me, God, literally I mean that, we will love our neighbors as ourselves and not treat them as expendable. We will love our vulnerable neighbors by taking a stand against injustice. As this post on Instagram put it, if you wear a hijab, I will sit with you on the train. If you are trans, I will go to the bathroom with you. If you are a person of color, I'll stand with you if the cops stop you. If you're an immigrant, I'll help you find resources. If you are a refugee, I will make sure that you are welcome. If you are LGBTQ, I won't let anyone tell you you are broken. If you're tired, me too. If you need a hug, I've got an infinite supply. If you need me, I will be with you, and I will ask that you will be with me too. Friends, I cling to the hope that God is love and that God is sovereign. I choose to believe that love, even though it appears weak sometimes, is the ultimate power in this world. And it is to love that we owe our ultimate allegiance. And Jesus never, never, never said that this way of love would be easy. He did say, however, I am with you always. And he repeated that admonition found in Scripture almost 100 times. Do not be afraid. The English poet W.H. Auden, who later became an American citizen, penned these words that I want to share with you. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies. Yet, dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them of eros and dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. Friends, may we catch a vision of God's holiness today, God's perfect love. May God purify what is necessary within us for the road ahead. May God give us courage, loosen our lips, and send us out to be the force for justice and peace that this nation needs at the moment. And may we respond to the call of the Holy One as Isaiah did, "Here I am, send me."